to the Nutramatic Report. And, of course, the first hour on Thursdays is the Leo Zagami Confessions of an Illuminati Hour, I should call it, because we do such regular shows, and there's so much information to cover, Leo. I'm amazed at the breadth of material you covered in Confessions Part 1 and Part 2, and, of course, Part 3 is coming out next year. These are monumental amounts of information you're releasing to the public. You also, this morning, I think, sent me a video link, which, unfortunately, I didn't get here quickly enough in order to be able to look at this. Legends, the Unholy Sea. Can you tell us a little bit about that Vimeo link?
Well, it's a documentary that Steve Quayle has produced and was conducted here in Europe by Timothy Alberino, who also went in South America, and basically reconnects the story of the giants, of the watchers,
right,
which, as you know, is present also in the Bible.
Right.
And he reconnects it with the what the Vatican is actually hiding in their vaults, what they have been doing for hundreds of years, even in South America, by building every single of their church structures upon holy sites, so they could use that to actually excavate further these sites, and maybe at times erase the truth of anything that can put into discussion their dogmas, their creed, and their belief, of course. So it's very interesting that for the first time we also have a first-hand testimony about Zachariah Sitchin, his involvement with the Vatican, what they were exchanging between Zachariah Sitchin and Corrado Balducci, this chief demonologist of the Vatican, who is also was involved in his late years in a UFO disclosure. So there is a lot really to see in this documentary that just came out, The Unholy Sea Part 2, and I think that people will be quite astonished, because we managed to actually film even within the Jesuit headquarters. And I must say that to do that, we really had to, you know, improvise one of my most amazing stunts, you know. So I had to prepare it for days in order to then not be kicked out instantaneously. And at the same time, I show a place called, it's basically a very particular church, not very many people know it. It's located right at the center of the Vatican, and this place is apparently San Lorenzo in Piscibus, the place where they conduct satanic masses in the Vatican. So all this and much more in this documentary that I thank you for mentioning, and that you can also view the trailer on Vimeo. And probably in the next few weeks, you will also be able to, you can already buy now from Vimeo. You can, I think, buy also the DVD. And in the next few weeks, I might be talking more about it. Because at one point, we also feature an unprecedented revelation from Mount Graham and the place where the Jesuits, as you know, have set up this Lucifer telescope. Right, yeah, in front of the cameras. Yeah.
That's what they call actually the Lucifer Telescope.
Yes.
It's the largest binocular telescope on the planet, Mount Graham in Arizona.
And they admitted that to do their work and point to those planets where they think there is life, that's their official, you know, reason for having this, they actually have to wait hours until the UFOs actually move. So they themselves, inside the observatory, admitted there is UFOs. And they didn't say it in a joking way. They actually said it like a very natural thing. So this is unprecedented footage.
Hiding among plain sight and actually making plain statements of fact like that is part of the high-level dark Illuminati called hoodwinking, which means we'll tell you straight up, but you won't believe it because you're profane.
Well, 10 years ago, I wrote an article on a site called Illuminati News, which I used to work with, and I dedicated it to Mount Graham and what the Jesuits were really doing on top of Mount Graham.
Right.
10 years after, the actual chief of the Indians, who, as you know, used to have their holy ground there and didn't want the Vatican to build this observatory, admitted and talked exactly about what I said before. This place is an extra-dimensional door to other worlds, is a place where, of course, these entities like to come backwards and forwards. And this is, of course, something unprecedented, because it's said actually by the chief of the Indian community who admitted all this. So, I mean, it's very nice that after 10 years I can actually help with my work and my research, this disclosure, as well as also clarifying for all the listeners, the viewers, the position of Zakaria Sitchin and his deep involvement with the Vatican.
So I want to propose a couple of statements and questions, and I'm going to see. I hear your response, because you're pretty brilliant in some of these areas, actually. I don't know anybody else on the planet that knows your level and depth of knowledge and connects all these dots.
Thank you.
I'm going to make a first statement. Firstly, the term UFO really isn't appropriate. The better term would be IFE, Identified Fetish Entity. Now,
absolutely.
All galactic civilizations not only can travel through wormholes, but are transdimensional. So to travel beyond the speed of light is child's play for an advanced culture that's got what we call Tier 3 energy in science, which not only is star power energy, but the ability to jump across dimensions. For example, our small spiral galaxy is 100,000 light years across, but the cosmos itself is trillions and trillions of light years across, and for a galactic civilization to exist with trade and control of an empire, which there are empires, they has to be above light technology, but also transdimensional technology, not only across the physical dimensions, but across the, we call the spirit dimensions. And hacking into the consciousness of populations in other worlds is child's play. In fact, I was asked to work on that project with DARPA at UCLA and VA Hospital in 1977. And in fact, 3 years ago, Mr. Obama funded a large project in Southern California to actually do that. So what people should understand is, for an advanced culture, even 100 or 1,000 years more advanced than ours, it's child's play. And we're about to reach what's called the intellectual singularity. We've been interacting with advanced cultures and beings from other worlds for the entire history of mankind. And it's in every holy book, including the Bible. It's referenced in the book of Jasher. And I remember we had one gentleman says it was a bunch of malarkey. Well, sorry, you've never been taught the malarkey that's in the Bible, and you can't dismiss one scripture. But in every holy book of every religion on earth, including the words of the native shamans from Africa and the Oceania, all reference to these specific facts. The archaeological facts, we've had Jonathan Gray on, I've had Steve Quayle years ago on, these are not disputable. It's just in-your-face facts. Now, what it means is we've had been the subject and of a galactic and cosmic war that's not only a physical war across our part of the parsec of space we're in, but a war against the consciousness of us collectively, against mankind, against our souls, in a sense, our higher self, collectively. And remember, Jesus himself said, Yeshua, we are the bride of God. In other words, we collectively are like a woman that gives birth to children that can worship the Most High God in a vast universe where there's more galaxies than grains of sand on every beach in the known cosmic universe in our so-called dimensional plane. So when we're looking at things like this, like these higher-level libraries, which have been accumulated and agglomerated to the Vatican is the greatest library on Earth. The Vatican has ancient documents that, for example, were the basis for Nikola Tesla's research, because his father, you know, he was a Orthodox monk, was able to get access to the Vatican Library and ancient documents that dealt with the harmonic resonance of the planets and the star systems, etc. In fact, a statement by Nikola was that if you know resonance, you know the universe. So it's my feeling that we are at, quote, the time of the end of ignorance, and that books like yours are so important because it will transform religion. Now, of course, what the Vatican wants to do is transform it in their particular direction, where they've even made statements that they're going to, quote, baptize extraterrestrials. And people don't take them seriously when they say this. It's like, these people are not just coming out of a room after taking a psychedelic drug. They actually believe this. When they have the Mount Graham telescope and they're looking for exoplanets and they're looking at star systems and UFOs, I've looked through technology to see UFOs myself with my own eyes. And they exist, okay? So when people say it doesn't exist, you're just unfortunately ignorant, and you will be a victim, because the deception that's coming is what we call first contact deception. The Vatican wants to control that, don't they?
The Vatican wants to control and wants to prepare, as this documentary shows, the way for the acceptance of this alien creed. You are quite right to not call them UFOs, and actually also in Italy, in Italy also we call them OBIs.
What's OBI mean?
OBI means oggetti volanti identificati, which means actually objects which are identified, because by now people identify these objects with aliens, so they call them in that way. Going back to what I was saying in regards to what the Vatican is doing, the Vatican is preparing the way for a new religion, and they are also wanting to aim to be at the forefront of this acceptance of the alien creed. And unbelievably, they're actually telling their own, their own faithful that they are ready to rediscuss their own religion if the aliens will bring on the table new elements.
Right. In fact, they refer to the aliens as evangelists to Earth. Now, this is something that Ronald Reagan snuck up because he had access.
Not only that, because they are ready to rediscuss their own religion. This is unprecedented. You can't rediscuss Christianity. To actually say we want to rediscuss the Bible, if they bring the aliens are bringing new things, new things that can actually put it into discussion, means that they believe the aliens are of a superior race, they are superior to mankind, and then they can, of course, offer us a new view upon this religion, which is Christianity. That is a very dangerous kind of game, as you can imagine, Dr. Deagle.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, we have to also understand that if you look at the masseuse on the door of a Hebrew home, we're not talking about the modern Jews, which are Sabbatean Satanists, and follow the Babylonian Talmud, Zohar, and Sephiot Zira, referring to the ancient ones. In the Book of Chronicles, it talks about what's on the words of the masseuse, the Lord God is one. Now, Trinitarianism is one of the bases that's used to allow Masonism to penetrate into the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches, which are pretty fully infiltrated by high-level dark orders, secret orders, especially so like the Southern Baptists, etc., Vatican, the Knights of Columbus. It goes on and on. In fact, I don't know. And I lived in Colorado Springs for years. I don't know of a Christian church that has not been fully infiltrated, except a few like the Continuing Church of God, which are, you know, Herbert W. Armstrong and one of our latest people we have on the show regularly, Dr. Paul Thiel.
Well, I mean, there is definitely also a very different viewpoint of these UFOs, aliens, however you want to call them, alien contacts, from the Orthodox Christian point of view and the Catholic point of view.
Exactly.
Because you see, the Orthodox have a very different kind of vision of this whole thing, and because they link it to demonic possession, they know it's linked to demonic possession, and so on the contrary of the Catholic world, which is embracing them, the Orthodox is actually saying, wait a minute, this might not be all positive for humanity. So, and I think that is probably the best attitude, and also the best attitude to protect all Christians from what is becoming, as you know, a new age trend embrace these elements of alien propaganda into the new age.
Now there are a number of different orders of these beings, and I'm only going to talk about a tiny percentage of what I know, which is pretty scary, to be honest with you. But the highest order of these beings that have come from our local area of space are from an area called the Belt of Orion and the Pleiades. And this is deeply embedded into Masonic orders. And I'd like you to expand on that, because even the positions of the pyramids in Giza, which are probably built more like 12,000 to 14,000 years ago at least, not in the last 5,000 years, and even the positions of the World Trade Center towers, including the monuments of the World Trade Center towers in New York City, are in the exact same star positions as the Belt of Orion. People need to know there's a symbology here that's very deeply embedded into the highest levels of these dark orders. Can you explain and expand on that?
Well, yes, there is actually a precise reference, especially to the star Sirius, to the Orion Belt, in a lot of the esoteric and occult tradition. We know what happened even in Germany during the advent of the Nazis, the fact that within the Thule Society it was formed a specific cult of communication with these otherworldly beings that could then communicate to the Nazis their technology. And the same is happening still nowadays with the Typhonian Order, otherwise previously known as the Typhonian Order of the OTO, and groups which are built around Crowleyanity, which believe that they can build a telepathic contact with these entities and basically give themselves totally to these entities in exchange of technology, of knowledge, of power.
Exactly.
Seems always there is a trade here. And this trade, of course, for many centuries has also been in the hands of the Jesuits, because the Jesuits have been at the forefront of this kind of occult knowledge, as you know.
Right. And there's a fusion between the Jesuits, not only the Bolsheviks in Russia, but with the Nazis. In fact, it was the Vatican actually doing the Operation Paperclip. They would have never transplanted the secret agencies and technology to the U.S. And the reason why U.S. is now this prescient superpower of Earth, to a great deal, is to the transfer of technology using these spirit technologies. The Gelenthulenschaft Society, and I may not be pronouncing it correctly, the Thulgelenschaft Society, were actually channeling technology such as, and I just mentioned the term called the Society of the Bell, where they were looking at using the plasma forms of mercury to create an anti-gravitonic field effect. And I took care of pilots that were flying for the British Air Force in 1977 that had flown in the Second World War and chased these Foo Fighters that sped off at faster than Mach speeds away from the British aircraft, and they couldn't believe it, and they had Nazi markings on them. So people need to understand that we're talking about something that's literally 80 years ago plus, that was technology that was transferred using the spirit technology of channeling that was from these, what I call IFEs, these beings. So people need to understand the rise of the occult structures behind Nazi Germany are not completely dead. Those underlying structures are still present, and that technology, spirit technology, is still present, which is the reason why America and its so-called allies, Britain, have technology that's been transferred from these beings with a codicil to it. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know that all the technology and the men of the intelligence was transferred into the so-called war against communism into the Western world, and especially in the U.S. So we have in the U.S. From the 1930s onwards sort of building up a preparation for these groups that will then arrive in large numbers after 1945.
Right.
And one of the face lodges created in this context in California was created by this Wilfred Talbot Smith in Hollywood in 1935, the Agape Lodge of the OTO. And it's here that Jack Parsons, who was working for NASA, was initiated, and it's here that he was initiated into the cult of Aleister Crowley. And this whole temple was moved then from Hollywood to Mount Palomar. And Mount Palomar Observatory, not many people know that, used to be a lodge of the Ordo Templi Orientis before becoming Mount Palomar Observatory.
Yeah, and by the way, I can see Mount Palomar from my back pool, many miles away because of the elevation. We're about 1,200 feet, and it's quite a bit higher, around 5,000. But Mount Palomar is visible right from my pool.
But you know what happened with the George Adamski, and so it's really a key place to understanding the developments of these alien connections.
Oh,
no?
Yeah,
because
absolutely. Absolutely.
George Adamski had himself an esoteric magical order, the Royal Order of Tibet. So we are talking here about him officially opening up Palomar Gardens Cafe, but in reality what was happening, he was observing in that area things which were evoked previously by other occultists which were from the Ordo Templi Orientis. All these people had in common their belief in Theosophy. Theosophy was this cult built in 1875, established in 1875 by Madame Blavatsky, that became since then the core syncretism form of religion for the New World Order.
Right. And now, Jack Parsons, you mentioned his name. People don't realize he's one of the senior scientists and leaders of Jet Propulsion Laboratories in Pasadena that still monitors our spacecraft from deep space, such as our satellites, and even, I think, the satellite that is passing Jupiter is one of the ones that the Jet Propulsion Labs is still monitoring.
Yes, and I wanted to talk about it both in Volume 1 and in Volume 2 about his figure, about his connection with Ron Hubbard and with Aleister Crowley, two figures that, of course, have changed the course of history, because we know that Aleister Crowley has been a key element in modern Satanism, for the development of modern Satanism, as well as Ron Hubbard with his Scientology for the development of science fiction in Hollywood, the way we know it now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Amazing. When we come back, we'll expand on this, because we're connecting a lot of dots here. And we connect conventional science, secret agencies, globalist control elite right now with the occult and these high technologies and what we call exopolitics. And then you start to see the grand design here.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back, and you did a project recently with Stephen Quayle, and it's called True Legends: The Unholy Sea. And I actually saw a little bit of the video clip. You can purchase it and stream anywhere for $14.99. Truth is Stranger Than Fiction, and it talks about, even in this opening clip, which I looked for 30 seconds plus, about a giant that was actually caught recently in Afghanistan. It was like over 10 foot tall. What people need to understand, I've actually seen the pictures and photos and talked to Jonathan Gray and actually seen his work regarding these giants, and they're all over the world. We also see abnormal anatomy of the head and body and even the bone structures. You know, what people need to start grasping is that our world has constantly and in repeatedly been impinged by advanced cultures from other worlds. In fact, all highest level Masons, and I mentioned this in the previous show, all the highest level Masons on Earth believe that the reason why there's Apollo worship is because the Apollo was supposed to reside on Mars and was, to quote, the god of the sun. And in fact, their belief system, when you see the obelisk, or Obaalisk, which is the phallic symbol of Apollo, you're actually referencing to the fact that the parent civilization of humans was actually on Mars, not Earth. That's what they believe. And it's not whether it's true or not, but all highest level organizations believe that, don't they?
I think that nowadays people really need to grasp that the truth is out there, and right. Only if you really have to be ready for it and go and analyze it with the subjective mind, and of course without the influence of the external world, because the external world is only meant to give you their own version and their propaganda version. In this documentary, which we have done, The Unholy Sea, there is a moment, the first part of the documentary, based in South America, where under a Dominican church there is this gincana, this great big cave system. Because, of course, before the time of the Great Flood, when the Watchers were around, right. There used to be apparently a cave system that connected the whole world, and that is, in some parts, still present.
By the way, the gentlemen that were involved with tunneling around the world?
Sorry?
You remember the gentlemen that were involved in talking around the country about tunneling, using sodium-cooled nuclear reactor tunneling machines all over the planet. Remember that?
Of course. I mean, but you're talking about modern tunneling systems.
Modern, but listen to this.
The thing is that most of these modern tunneling systems were based on more old ones, and sometimes they simply remodernized old connections that which were already there. That's the thing that a lot of people don't understand.
Exactly. Well, actually, I took care of... see if you can remember the name of the gentleman that traveled around the country.
I really can't.
Well, I took care. Actually, I was a doctor for his colleague. Actually, who got particle disease because they used sodium-cooled nuclear reactors to hit the rock face with impact lasers, and then they would pull the sidewalls to make an obsidian core with zero debris that would vastly reduce the volume, and they'd vacuum out the tunnels and put a tri-radiate maglev track in their magnetic levitation track and fiber optic cables in these tunnels, and they were refurbishing old tunnels. They actually did an analysis of the age of some of the tunnels somewhere in the area like Baja California that were 300,000 to 500,000 years old according to the rock aging with nuclear technology. So we're dealing with a system that literally crossed oceans, crossed continents and mountain systems, had giant cities all over the world underground. In fact, the most popular place for them to build cities, including what the U.S. government doing, dumb, which is Bechtel Corporation. Most of them are built in what's called dormant magma domes because the crust of the Earth's lithosphere moves periodically on the mantle. And when there's no longer a feeder to feed that magma dome over millions of years, it leaves a giant opening in the ground that's very hard and hard and perfect for building a city. And these giant magma domes are anywhere from 4 to 12 plus cubic miles in size. And then the next one would be make a matrix, which is a scanning back and forth, and then vertically to create a tunnel system. The ones that they were doing back in the 90s were up to 120 feet across, and they were tunneling up to 7 miles per day. So the technology has advanced from that. This tunnel technology was again transferred to our civilization recently, and people need to understand as they opened up these astral gates, that's why objects and things that happened like in 1947 with the appearance of what they call UFOs.
That's one of the subjects which I treat in Volume 2, and I discuss about it also in Volume 1 in regards to, even to Roswell and the link that there is between what happened in Roswell and a certain occult group and what they actually they try to explain to to the FBI, especially these people from these Illuminati sects, which used to, you know, where they know exactly what they are. So they describe the FBI, the fact that they had an extra dimensional technology, that they were not traveling in the traditional sense into our dimension. And I think this is very important, because then you also understand why there is all this secrecy, because we still, as human beings, seem to relate, at least officially, only to this dimension. Now, with CERN, with what's happening in CERN in Switzerland, you can see that they are trying to open the gates of hell, in the real sense of the term, also open into a gate into another dimension. And they're doing it scientifically with CERN.
Yeah, well, CERN is basically, it says in the Bible, it talks about opening the bottomless pit, which is open a transdimensional gate. And there's already been some reports coming out from leaked from some of the scientists that that gate has at least temporarily been opened, and they've identified objects in their tunnel systems that actually shouldn't be there that have come through. So what people should start understanding is the world that they believe in is a Pollyanna world that never existed. The real world is quite different, both wonderful and horrifying. And the universe is populated not only with other beings, but even memes or ideas, and that the spiritual realm rules over the physical realm, which is, in a sense, a hologram. You know, with a lot of prayer and a lot of research, I've advanced the technology how to do what I call prayer warrior amplification, and I will be talking about this in future shows, but we have to realize that prayer is the most powerful thing we can do. Because you can't really open people's minds up by just telling them the facts like you're doing, or even emotionally with a good movie or video or song or poem. You have to open up their minds with the spiritual realm, because they won't accept the facts even though they're shoved right in their face, like the issues about Mount Graham or even statements by their own astronomers. People will just look at you like, that's entertaining, that's weird, I think I'll just go back to my life. And it's bizarre that people often will attack the messenger because it's so different than their religious viewpoint or their academic viewpoint. They'll think that we're fools when, in fact, they're ignorant and they're going to be a victim of a system that takes a hold of their ignorance and uses it against them and calls them profane.
They actually are giving in to the illusion, and they prefer to stay in their safe place, like Plato described in his Myth of the Cavern, and it's very well described in his Myth of the Cavern, where he said people prefer to stay in the cave instead of coming out in the light, because that's where it's more easy for them to rely also to their next door neighbor. They don't want to be seen as weirdos. At times, the system actually punishes, as you know, many people, putting them in an institute, psychologically destroying them, giving them medicines, psychopharmaceutical compounds that will gradually destroy their brains, only to shut them up and to not give these truths out. That's another
I'm sure it's happened over the centuries. Now, of course, the suppression comes. For example, even when I was doing medical legal work, the attorneys to the other side, we were dealing with cases like workers' compensation, toxicology, military cases. They wanted to voir dire my travel, say, with the Prophecy Club. When I'd start exposing Tier 1 science, not even dealing with a religious issue, Tier 1 science of low Earth orbit satellite systems called Iridium, the facts about U.S. Space Command and strategic Star Wars systems out in space, where 95% of our space-based weapon systems are pointed out in space, not toward the planet, where advanced technology exists literally centuries ahead of what people even think exists, and I give them specific documentation. For example, for 7.5 years plus, I've told people exactly the design for tokamak fusion reactors, and last February 2015, Lockheed Martin comes out with their design of a 28 by 32 foot fusion reactor, saying it could power 80,000 homes. These people don't realize this was miniaturized over 50 years ago, and is the central power source for aircraft that's now being taken out of service in 2010, called the Aurora. And anybody who researches the Aurora that thinks that this is just a legend doesn't realize, as the director of Space Command said to be the first statements he mentioned when we went underground at Falcon, Colorado, three higher levels of security than NORAD, we control every cubic centimeter of space between here and Mars. Every cubic centimeter. I said, you mean the moon? He said, and he got real mad at me. Like, he said, this is a come to Jesus talk. So you don't freak out when you find out the truth. We're going to tell you straight up. Now, what people out there need to start grasping And they may be in a state of shock right now, but I'm only releasing a tiny fraction of what I know. And what you know is really important for people to get these books and these videos. They need to understand that last year, with the start of the Shemitah or Wipeout or Jubilee year, the unsealing of the 144,000, the spiritual transformation for the sealed ones, has started. In other words, people are going to start perceiving in the spirit the real truth, because their intellect has been darkened by spiritual darkness, and that darkness is lifting. With your books, for example, the darkness is lifting. Not just intellectual truth, but there's spirit words there that open up their mind to say, you know what? I can consider this as a reasonable thesis, not just in the logical or emotional, but in the spiritual perception of it. Because spiritual perception can cover over your intellect.
Because, as you know, most times the conspiracy world has been touched by this too much of an emotional and really angry way of perceiving things and criticizing them without having the facts in front of them.
Exactly.
And then the enemy, it's easy for the enemy to say, you're just a loony case.
Right, you know, exactly. The truth is even more bizarre than someone who has a very mundane previous existence and then tries to create or imagine how bizarre the world is. The real world is more bizarre than what their mundane imagination can crop up. And the fact is there's so much evidence. We have mountains, not even dump trucks full of evidence. We have mountains of evidence that's historical, geological, archaeological, visual, documentary, books. I mean, there's so much evidence, it's insane, isn't it? And the problem is, you see, that the spiritual darkness is lifting. I like that line in the book of the Trilogy of the Ring. And it said that it was a darkness over Mordor. Well, the darkness is not just a darkness of lack of knowledge. It's a darkness of spiritual blindness, so the people can't perceive the truth even when it's shoved in their face. But now that darkness is lifting. And as it lifts, it's also going to give people a chance to be transformed to a new civilization where we are an I and a we, where we're empathic not only with each other, but we understand the nature of the universe, both good and evil. We understand we're in a galactic and cosmic war for the soul and the future of mankind, and the future of us as human beings is a galactic civilization that has direct communication with the Most High God and is a godly civilization that doesn't turn to evil and become part of a Draco-Reptilian empire. That's what's going on.
Most people, though, still to fit in the old paradigm. And that's why I thank you very much for having me guest regularly on your show every week with my Confessions of an Illuminati. And to bring you more and more evidence, also thanks to my books, because, as you know, I started coming out of my secretive world now it's 10 years ago, exactly, 2006. Right. Initially, the response, though, wasn't that great, because it's just like we discussed before. People prefer to stay in their nutshell, prefer to stay with their certainties. And they also, of course, the enemy at the beginning had it very easy, because they could go on the internet and write all kinds of things about me, or pretending even to be me at times, writing things there were secret societies like the Ordo Templarientis, like other secret societies I had been involved with in the Illuminati network, that went out of their way to try to sabotage me. But unfortunately, they didn't manage, because even after my arrest, even after I was persecuted and had to leave Norway, even after all the bad experiences that, when you are arrested for espionage, I think that you have something to say. I mean, Assange hasn't been in the conditions he is because he has just been, he's a simple hacker. He's something more. And the same when it comes down to condemning me for espionage, once I started to reveal certain things through my blog at the beginning, they actually came and threatened me. There is still testimonies on the internet from that time when they threatened me. They came to my house and they said, listen, you have to close down your blog. You have to, otherwise we will get your son. We will make sure that your life here in Norway ends up. And it actually did end up. So, I mean, these people are really
evil. No end to evil that they'll do to you. And now, by the way, people need to understand this. They can attack your bioetheric body, which, by the way, is your transcendent biospiritual body. They can affect your physical health from a distance. They can send curses on your relationships. They can energize generational curses. They can try to confuse your thought patterns. They can try to make you suicidal. And so people need prayer. We need collective prayer. But we realize now we have technology and ways of amplifying prayer and getting the truth out, because right now this battle is getting very intense. Good example is the release of Hillary Clinton. Now,
what's happening with that is really outrageous. I mean, I've been assisting for the last few hours to Director Comey from the FBI being put under hard investigation on Capitol Hill. It's still ongoing while I'm talking.
Right, he's going to be cross-examined by Congress.
He's being cross-examined, but here, I mean, the criticism that a lot of these people moved, including an ex-CIA agent, were very interesting, and also they totally demonstrated that Hillary is both a crook and this guy, Comey, he plays the part of the guy who is apolitical, who is not with the politics, that he hasn't taken orders from the White House. But that's not the truth.
He's a crook too. For example, Comey was involved. I have documents that just arrived to me.
Comey is a good Comey. That's it. It's a Comey.
That's funny. Comey actually was involved with the laundering of HSBC drug money. Did you know that?
Oh. Yeah. I didn't know that, actually.
Oh, yeah. He's not totally lily white clean. He tries to stand there, because he's a very tall guy, and look very like we would call a holy man. Or first off, it's like I saw Judge Pirro on Fox News. What she said was, real simply, you're the cop, don't tell me how to prosecute. Show me the evidence, which, by the way, he laid out very clearly. He tried to reinterpret the statute, which he's not allowed to do. He tried to then be judge and jury, which he's not allowed to do.
But listen, the whole thing is a joke. He said that Hillary Clinton was actually interviewed by 5 people. He wasn't even sure of the number of agents who were actually interviewing. He didn't even interview her himself. I mean, you have such an important job, and you delegate it to others. You don't even know who the agents are.
The outcome was already decided, okay, because we have to understand who and what Hillary Clinton is. She is a person of clay and iron, and I mentioned this before. That's why my minister...
Well, there is actually something that came out, and I think people will not unfortunately notice during the course of this interrogatory to Comey, which came out at one point, and I think it's very important, because she is not only the ex-secretary of state, she is also CIA high-level member, and everybody within the government of the U.S. knows this, but nobody wants
to actually talk about it. I didn't know she was also high CIA. See, CIA is the same as OAS, which is the same as the Thule Gesellschaft, which are the same as the satanic, transdimensional, if you want to call, channelers. Now, Hillary Clinton is the highest-level female Mason in the Western world, i.e. witch, W-I-T-C-H, similar as a female version of a warlock, summoning demons, summoning transdimensional entities, and the fact is she's avatared by a transdimensional demonic Draco reptilian entity. That's why she's a person of clay and iron. She's not a normal human being. Okay? People need to understand that. That's why she can literally, and I got an interesting, funny email this morning from one of our guys, Steve, up in Michigan. And he said, you know, all the whistleblowers that were removed from their jobs and all the government employees that had minor little infractions lost their jobs should receive their pay. And they, by the way, should be paid by the Clinton Foundation for all their lost time and work and recompensed for losing their jobs. The fact is Hillary Clinton could literally eat a baby on camera and would be absolved by the Democratic Party and by Comey and the Department of Justice. That's how evil our system is. Now, when you see that unveiled, you realize, despite the fact that there's some warts on Mr. Trump, he has a touch of Asperger's syndrome, which means his tongue moves faster than his brain, which is slightly above average intelligence, but he's not a genius. He's very slightly hypomanic, which means he's very successful. But, you know, if you're given $17 million over 30 or 40 years, you'd probably have $10 billion in the bank now anyway. So the man is successful. I think he's what we call of a white order, which means he's of a Scottish Rite order that wants to bring things back to some degree of good and balance. So his heart in the right place. Despite he's gone through a lot of changes over the years, he used to be pro-abortion, he's not now. He's a baby Christian, which means he doesn't have a strong spiritual life, if you want to call it, so he doesn't perceive the darkness he's up against. As I said to Roger Stone, he's going to get a heck of a shock when he opens up and realizes these are not, you know, large tins like tins of beans, cans of worms he's going to find. He's going to get oil drum size like the movement of drugs coming in with U.S. Hercules C-130s to U.S. bases in America, like Aurora, where I took care of employees taking care of aircraft that were flying in with stacked to the gunnels, shrimp wrap pallets of heroin coming in from Afghanistan. What he's going to start realizing, building a wall isn't going to stop the drugs to Vermont. It's the CIA. It's the FBI. It's the Department of Injustice with people like Loretta Lynch that warns us, or the State Department that has this one that says, you know, the solution to terrorism is to give them jobs. I mean, how crazy to have one sitting there with the sweater girl from the State Department telling us that we're all crazy and we just need to give jobs to terrorists that are, you know, that are ready to blow themselves up with, you know, with bomb vests, that somehow if we gave them a job, they'd be happy and they wouldn't try to kill us. It's insanity. It's not only it's the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. It's demonic. And we have to shake it off. And people need to realize, and I'm saying this now publicly over and over again, anyone who votes for Hillary Clinton themselves has blood on their hands. Not only physical, but spiritual blood, because it means the end of America. It means the end of most of humanity if we do survive to what's coming. Because Hillary Clinton and her ilk have a plan to massively reduce the world population, and her policies directly are going to contribute, if she does get into office, to an eventual war with Russia and China and thermonuclear annihilation of most of the population of the United States and the Western world. And people don't see that. So when you want to vote because you think she's pro-abortion, or she's pro-women, or she's pro-Hispanic because you think Trump is a racist, you're a fool, and you're going to vote for a devil that'll destroy your life and your descendants. And there will be no America a century from now if there's anybody left to even remember nations. And if you do say there was an America, they'll think it was a legend. That's how bad it'll be after Hillary Clinton becomes president, if she does. And unfortunately, mathematically, unless something miraculous happens to the situation, I cannot see mathematically how Hillary will not become president of the United States at the current trajectory with the fact that they didn't prosecute. Now, Congress and Senate do something with Comey and the Department of Justice. They should immediately remove from office. There should be something, a real cataclysm happen here. If it doesn't happen by August, you can pretty well guarantee that Hillary will be our president. God help us all.
Yeah, well, because it will demonstrate what Trump has said all along, that the system is rigged. And this is very sad, because exactly. I think this will lead the way in the long term for even a possible civil uprising, a civil war.
They had Brexit last this just a few weeks ago. We're going to have Texit, which means the state of Texas, and I know Texans, I can tell you, every June they have to vote to stay in the Union. Texas will take with it at least half a dozen other states. The United States will end in the first or second term of Hillary Clinton. She will see a military and civilian uprising like no one's been seeing, a revolution inside the United States. And if they think they're ready for it, including with robotic drones and other things they're going to try to do, they need to think again. We're very innovative people. I can release half a dozen technologies if I want to right now that are far more dangerous than guns, that they cannot defend against, that you can build in your garage or from material from a hardware store in a matter of a couple hours. So if these fools think they're going to take us on and think that we're real passive, or we're just going to roll
well, I guess
they better damn well think again.
Yeah, this has been demonstrated also by the Boston attacks. I mean, you can create really weapons of destruction in your garage, like you said. I mean, it's very easy nowadays. If you know the rules of chemistry, put together these bombs. I mean, it's easy for the terrorists, but it's also easy for freedom fighters if they are pushed to react in that way.
Most of the bomb makers are even helped by the FBI, who, you know, in 1993, with the first attempt on the World Trade Center, the FBI are in the public record as helping the bomber, who's an Egyptian military person, and he decided not to use the bombs, and then later they used a bomb with cyanide, and it went into the air intake system and killed a lot of people in the parking garage. The bombs that they had would never have taken down the towers. We know that Marvin Bush was a security officer, and that the Israeli Mossad put nuclear devices called micronukes, which they had stolen after they assassinated John F. Kennedy, based on the Davy Crockett, which is a micronuke system, and they'd advanced it using things like red mercury and so on they got from the Russians. So these isotopes were present in the World Trade Center tower, including the Mall in Building 6, which I reviewed with 40 anomalies proving that nukes were used to demolish it. Then I actually got contact with a munitions expert from Finland who was contracted to actually do a nuclear demolition with advanced explosives like RDX of the towers in 1998, 3 years before 9/11. I've had two nuclear physicists working with me, a high school professor of nuclear physics, and Dr. Ed Ward has supplied me with information. And when I went through these anomalies, because I have a background in nuclear physics, I was accepted at MIT in plasma nuclear physics from Grace 11 because I taught myself quantum mechanics. So I'm not exactly stupid. And when I saw these things, the video company in Oregon who videotaped my six presentations at the 2007 Vancouver 9/11 conference, I had to threaten to sue them to get my videos because they refused to give me them. Our board has decided not to allow you to have your own videos. This is a new board. Right after the conference was over, they elected a new board and tried to block my videos. So I'm going to tell you out there, I have more information and bring on better guests and deeper than anybody else you can imagine. And it does connect the dots. And when people like Steve Quayle are bringing on all the stuff with you, this is excellent because people need to start grasping. The veil is off. As of last September, the darkness over Mordor, over planet Earth, the spiritual darkness that's hiding the truth, it's going gone. And the people are going to have to face the music because the obscenity that Hillary Clinton can cackle all the way through this. And then the next day she's on the Air Force One with Obama campaigning at the public ticket to fly her around to campaign. How in your face is that?
That is completely outrageous. It's the New World Order being completely in your face with their attitude, with their fake hypocrisy, hypocritical ways. And unfortunately, with people like Mark Zuckerberg influencing the crowd with tools like Facebook, it becomes almost impossible to win these elections. Because if people are so demented to get influenced by Facebook, they will probably in the end vote for Hillary Clinton.
Well, actually, he should change his name to Mark Zuckerberg. How's that? He's trying to use all like suckers.
Well, that's not bad, but let's remember that Facebook is now a tool that is being used to actually influence people. They have made many experiments on how they can. They even made a public one, which they, a couple of years ago, if you remember, then after they just pushed under the carpet by saying it was just a kind of joke. It's no joke to influence the minds of millions of people. That, of course, they gave you a free tool because Facebook is a free tool, but you are actually selling your soul to them. So,
right.
I mean...
Well, Facebook is another face of the NSA. As I said, and I'm going to bring out this year, I know more about the physical virtual world project, the Matrix, and the Mark of the Beast than any other human being that's ever lived on planet Earth. And I'm going to release it this year. I'm also going to start releasing other information on spiritual things like the Book of the Way and other things that people need to understand will integrate totally with your research and your books and other things that have come out to explain to people that if you believe what I call the kindergarten milk and cookies version of belief systems from whatever church you belong to, whether it's a synagogue or a mosque or a Catholic church or whatever, you're going to be kept in what I call a virginic state of spiritual knowledge, and you're going to be a victim. You need to understand that unless you raise your level of awareness and knowledge, not only of the nature of what you are and the nature of what we are collectively, and the nature of our history, you're going to be, and our civilization is going to be, a victim of a great evil that's being perpetrated on us. And a good example is what's happening in election 2016, what's happening to Brexit. The British had enough guts, the normal Brits, to say, I don't care if the economy crashes. I want my bangers and mash, and I want these massive hirage of Muslims, which, by the way, every dollar we spent back in the Middle East to try to help these people to make their civilization prosper in the face of drought and economic devastation, we would probably...
Another thing, you know, it's the total condemnation now that is publicly being done also of Tony Blair, who was the main key actor in this war against Iraq together with George W. Bush. And he had to admit now that he was brought into this war completely illegally and not respecting any of, and also with fake intelligence. Remember that somebody also was killed in the UK. Because they wanted to shut him up about the truth on Iraq. Tony Blair is basically a war criminal. He's a Satanist. He's a friend of Jimmy Savile, who was condemned right. for being one of the worst pedophiles and knighted by the Queen and by the Pope. So these people are truly sick, and we need to stop them once and for all. I think Tony Blair should be...
Huh? You're referring to the Queen. I call her the Dragon Queen. How's that?
Well, I mean, the Queen of England is actually a relative of mine because, as you may know, I talk about it also in Volume 2. I am from the Lion family of Lord and Lady Strathmore, so we are distant cousins. My actual grandfather was a cousin of a Queen Mother. Of course, the fact that I have come out in the open and saying these things is not for them, you know, something they really like. Even my own family.
Well, the thing is, you may be blood related, but I heard that there's actually a closer blood relation that's more likely should have been crowned as the king that actually has an air conditioning company in Canberra, Australia, than the Queen of England. So the fact is that we have to understand that blood relation doesn't mean that you're part of the...
The thing is this, of course, this is a long story. The story of the Watchers actually is the story of the Anunnaki, is the story of these bloodlines that filter through a certain aristocracy, through a certain nobility. They have been always in charge of humanity in the various traditions. So now, if you really must know, I'm probably the only one from my kind of background that really comes up with this kind of information because the rest believe, because
of the bloodline, they have a legal right to literally assume that you're going to be part of the cabal of evil. I mean,
of course, and for them, it's unprecedented. There is actually some very known precedents. One of them was even Jesus Christ himself from the House of David. He rebelled. Right. I mean, and he wasn't in with the elite. He actually said, I'm going to, you know, so, but what happens to somebody that rebels from his own family and the elite? They try to shut you up. They want you to be the crazy one, to be the black sheep.
I'm sure that part of that was tied into the fact that we're cousins of the, not only the German nobility, but also the Russian nobility. These people look like, you know, almost twins. If you actually looked at them biologically, you say, my gosh, these people could be the same mother. And, the royal fights through the Middle Ages, including the bold rise of Bolshevik Russia and the First and Second World Wars, were among cousins who were blood-related. People need to understand this, don't they?
Oh, well, communism was very much financed by the Kaiser, who was himself a cousin. And of course, there was finance at the same time the Kaiser himself became a victim of a situation that destroyed the monarchy also in Germany, because ultimately the monarchy was destroyed also in Germany. So let's say that the British monarchy has been the one that has conspired most and has killed all their cousins to retain the maximum power over the last century, and that is because they really thought that with their Commonwealth, with their big British Empire, they really dominated the planet.
By the way, the latest incarnation is on the slaughterhouse grounds in New York City, because the United Nations is just a reincarnation of the British Empire. 57 nations are previous affiliates of the British Kingdom. People need to know
I write about the United Nations very extensively in Volume 2, because I think that people also need to know that within the United Nations there is the spiritual headquarters of this new world order, and that these spiritual headquarters are not just in the head of some conspiracy theory, but they actually been built consciously. There is actually a meditation temple in the UN which holds is the place where they directed their egregore and their thought for achieving what they think is this empire of perfection, which is very materialistic, though. It's a corrupt civilization. So there is not the empire of perfection of Jesus Christ, of course. Unfortunately, we are going through that stage when the Antichrist is still in charge. So the creation of the kingdom of God is around the corner, originally planned by the Most High Initiates, who really were on the light side. But the dark side is prevailing these days.
I consider what we're doing is we are mortarmen of the New Jerusalem, building the mortar. We are seamsters and seamstresses of the coat of many colors, bringing the nations and the peoples together. And people need to understand this, because the truth is now coming forward. As of last September, the unveiling, the unsealing of the 144,000 has started. We are in the birth pangs right now, and the birth pangs mean the most God, high God, will not come back until his bride is ready, until those people of the elect are ready, and that readiness has started. It started last September, and this Shemitah wipeout year means that's why the Vatican and the globalists are in such a panic to do what they can because of the financial disaster that's around the corner, the Brexit, the battle of people fighting against the globalism with the rise of Donald Trump, $2 billion with Hillary Clinton just tackling all the way into the Air Force.